Hello everybody, welcome to BitNote again with David Collins. We'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. We've got some good tunes lined up, so I hope you enjoy. Alright, to start things off, how does everyone feel about Jurassic Park? I won't be playing any John Williams music, unfortunately. Some awesome stuff there, obviously. But I'll just play this from the one of the classic games based on Jurassic Park. So, what you were hearing there was the intro theme to Jurassic Park, released on the Sega Mega Drive, and that was originally composed by Sam Powell in the game Jurassic Park, developed by Blue Sky Software. Now, Jurassic Park has had a swath of video games. Since it was released in 1992, of course, classic Spielberg dinosaur film. Something about people's fascination with dinosaurs, probably spurred mostly by that film, just made sure that it was always just some really interesting game subject for them. So when Jurassic Park first came out, you know, at the very end of the credits, you'd see all these things about Jurassic Park is now available in video game form. And indeed, there were a variety of games released just called Jurassic Park. And then, of course, with the movie sequels, even more games came out. So, I mean, there's actually quite a variety of Jurassic Park movies out there. There's Jurassic Park Operation Genesis, which is basically about you're basically manage Jurassic Park. That's your mission. It's basically a theme park management simulation and building up simulation where you have to actually create and establish and make your own Jurassic Park and make sure it's really, really popular and everything. And then, of course, there was the rather infamous game, Jurassic Park Trespasser. This was when 3D technology and physics were coming into their own. And this was actually involved Steven Spielberg involved with it himself. I mean, most of the other games, no one involved. Spielberg involved himself in Trespasser. It had this whole innovative mechanics about how there'd be real physics. And it was said by many to be one of the worst games of that year. But, you know, that's just how it happens in the industry. There's always people who are very cruel. I'll have to say I haven't really played either of those video games, so I can't give the best verdict on them. The other game I also haven't played is the most recent Jurassic Park game, which was made by Telltale Games, which is basically set around the same sort of timeline as the first movie, and is sort of like a choose-your-own-adventure sort of thing, where you've basically got all these scenes going on, and there's this great compelling story or so I've heard, but I haven't really played. But the game I'm talking about here is the one developed by Blue Sky and on the Sega Mega Drive. There was a Rampage edition that followed it, but this was the classic thing. Essentially, you basically were Dr. Grant, and you were on the island. When lightning bolt struck, the dinosaurs got free and you had to escape the island. Or you were the raptor who was sick of captivity on the island and wanted to escape and unleash your havoc in the world around you or become an accountant or something. That's the great thing about the game. Right from the start, you're given the option. Did you want to play as a human being called Grant with a blue shirt and a white cap, or did you want to play as a raptor? As you can see, they're both... Some people say that a video game is just a good video game is a series of interesting choices. Under that definition, I think Jurassic Park gets off to a brilliant start. When you're Grant, you jump around, you climb, you grab stuff, you shoot a variety of weaponry, everything from electro-stun tranquilizer guns to high-powered rockets. Only when you get the level, it's not all completely gunning. You've got to jump your way through the facility, round things. One of its fun levels is the raft sequence, where you have to get into the raft and you move it downriver, and you have to jump across chasms and stuff. And it's just a good fun adventure. I mean, it's just, you know, and it's pretty cool. Meanwhile, as the raptor, you can move very fast, you can jump incredibly high, you can make a running jump that will suddenly pelt you across the screen and attack whatever in your way. You can kick, jump, and then you can eat small little dinosaurs just for sustenance. So it's a pretty cool game. So while the first Dr. Grant is just more is fun in its own sense, they've both got their own sense. They're both fun in their own way. So they both make their way through different variants of mostly the same levels. The raptor levels is missing a few. And finally, they have to travel through the jungle and all these facilities until they finally make it to the visitor center. And that's where they'll either get the helicopter to safety or essentially hide in a crate and assume that the Teamsters won't notice that you've got a raptor eyes and raptor claws are poking out of a small crack in the box. And so they'll ship you off. Speaking of the visitor center... So that music there was from the Visitor Center of Jurassic Park. It's actually kind of funny in that Visitor is the last level of the game. If you play as Grant, you deal against with the Raptors as the final boss. And if you're a Raptor, you deal with Grant as the final boss. It was almost impossible, I found, to defeat either of those bosses until I discovered there was a text that scrolled at the beginning of that level, the Visitor Center level. And in both cases, there was a cryptic clue among the text that told you, or at least gave you guidance on how to beat the boss in a slightly unobvious way. I just really liked noticing that. But as we all know, Jurassic Park was succeeded by Jurassic Park The Lost World, or The Lost World Jurassic Park, whichever way around it goes. The Sega Mega Drive also got a port of that game, although this was developed by a completely different studio called Appaloosa Interactive. And speaking of Appaloosa Interactive, yep, you see, they also created Echo the Dolphin Defender of the Future and all the other Echo games. Yes, that's the music of the game that I'm going to play next. Because as you see, I've actually managed to seek from one video game to the other. This is normally so incredibly awkward. I just stopped talking about one game and then randomly start about the other one. But there, if you noticed it, I used a huge amount of professionalism. I created a nice narrative from one game to the other, you know, because... You know, Jurassic Park Lost World, game, Appaloosa Interactive, and Echo the Dolphin. Yeah, maybe I should just play some Echo music now. From Defender of the Future. And that was Perils of the Coral Reef from Echo the Dolphin, Defender of the Future. It was composed by Tim Folan and it's developed by Appaloosa Interactive. Defender of the Future was released for the Sega Dreamcast in 2000. As you can guess, it was based on the classic Echo the Dolphin series, Echo 1 and 2, which was released in the early 90s for the Mega Drive. And it also got released on a few other Sega platforms. But this game just completely takes a new break and starts something pretty much of its own. It's kind of unfortunate for some fans if you're really following and wonder what happens to Echo at the end of Echo the Dolphin 2, but at the same time, I mean, it was just so... This game is so true to the original games, in my opinion. You're a dolphin. You're swimming through the sea and you've got mysterious aliens that are threatening your planet in some way. You see some great many sights as you go on your journey. You see some of the beauties of the ocean floor, the creatures that lie within it, and then you see some otherworldly stuff as in various ways the influence of the aliens make themselves known. The storyline of this game actually even has a, which was kind of unusual at the time, actually had an actual novelist write out some story for the game, but the story is kept pretty at a minimum, and most of the time you're just swimming under the sea and chatting to fish, you know, using your sonar and getting turtles to follow you and looking through some beautifully rendered scene area, and just, it's just a great experience, really. That's one of the great things about this game. It just really makes you feel like you're in a different place. The game would occasionally challenge you, though, and sometimes it would challenge you a fair bit. Oftentimes, your environment, while beautiful or twisted or very visually stunning, would often have some very logic or twisted sort of logic that you must figure out in order to progress through the level. It wasn't that hard. There were often these glyphs that if you sang to, they give you cryptic messages about what to do next. But in all, it was just... I managed to work my way through it, and it was just a beautiful game. I think I'll play another song from the game now. Beautiful tracks. It's kind of fun controlling Echo. I mean, he's a dolphin. You swim around, you jump, you can jump out of the water, spin around, charge, race and everything, and use your echolocation to see the surrounding world. And the music of the game is also really beautiful. Tim Folan did a great job. If you'd like to listen to yourself, I actually got them from a site called Caverns of Hope, which is a fan site. Now, normally I don't talk about sites that make certain game tracks available for free, but apparently even Tim Folan himself knows about this website. So, yeah, Caverns of Hope. It's an Echo the Dolphin fan site. And I believe they've got some great Echo the Dolphin music. The game isn't all serene, though. You see, part of the storyline involves aliens going back in time to changing the timeline, and while you can correct it, you only do it in a piecemeal fashion throughout the game, resulting in several new realities or worlds being created, populated by, in cases where dolphins evolved only without certain attributes. Sometimes what can result is very menacing, where you've almost got like dolphin police states, or worlds or times when the world has become so polluted it's literally dying. It sounds a bit heavy-handed, like a nature message, but when you're dealing with the beauty of nature, I suppose it's inevitable when we realise what risks we take when we damage it in some ways. The music track I just played was from Hanging Waters. It's beautiful, basically where the dolphins have tried to create their own civilization in the sky, and essentially they're gigantic floating tubes of water stretching through the air that you travel in, basically going through a skyway. The idea was inspired by Echo 2 Tides of Time, which did something else, but just completely differently. But for now, with Echo Dolphin Defender of the Future, it was all in full 3D. You moved back and forth in all sorts of ways. Unfortunately, the world in which case, like I said, the dolphins have become a totalitarian society, and you have to try to deal with the people. This is one of the more haunting tracks from the game in dealing with. That's some pretty tense music from pretty tense boss fight. But I think I'll finish up with some more quiet, relaxed music from the credits of this game. I just think that this soundtrack is so beautiful and it just makes you pause for a moment. Sometimes we all get a little stressed out, but sometimes it's just easy just to sit still and listen to the beauty around us. This has been David Collins with BitNote, playing some great music from Echo the Dolphin, Defender of the Future. Thank you for listening.